We have been working through the book of Matthew and in our Sunday morning sermon series. And really, I try to preach verse by verse in an expository nature. And what that means is we don't want to skip anything. We don't want to miss anything. And really, I don't want any of my preaching to be on things that you might consider pet projects or personalized things that that might mistreat the Word of God. And so we really try to just preach expositionally what the Word of God says to the people of God. This morning will be a little different for us. We've been working through the book of Matthew at a pace of about a chapter per week. And today we're going to tackle three chapters at once. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to break those down into individual messages. Last week, we saw the calling of the first disciples in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus spoke to the men on the boats, and he said, "Follow me," and he would make them fishers of men after performing a miracle in their presence. We've put a lot of focus in this study in the book of Matthew on Jesus as our King, as he was born King of Kings. Last week we heard the call of the King, the words he speaks directly to us for instruction are to follow him. This next chapter 5, is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we heard the call of the King. This is the King's message. If Jesus is King, the words that he speaks have eternal value. If Jesus is our King here in Calvary Four Square Church, then he has authority in our lives. If Jesus is my King, then his word is my instruction, it is my calibration, it is the way that I must live, if Jesus is my King. And I say on a regular basis that he is. I declare through song and through word and through testimony that Jesus is my King, even though, as some of you may testify, I don't always act like it. In fact, there are many times that I would say, if the master returned today, he might find this servant lacking. But for the grace of Jesus, I have a hope in him. Today, as we consider his kingship, I want us to hear the words of the King. I want us to consider them, to carefully weigh them, and to feel how they might impact our lives. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be here in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, studying the words of Jesus together. There is a lot to unpack. But today, I just want us to hear it. We're just going to hear it. I'm just going to read for you Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Before we get into that, I want us to first understand the context. Jesus is in Galilee. He has been working and preaching in Galilee, and we're going to just read chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. It says, "Now Jesus had begun to go all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread throughout Syria. So they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, the paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed from him from Galilee to Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." Jesus, in chapter 4, had called the first few And from there, he went on to teach all over Galilee, teaching, preaching. And as he encountered people, he was healing them, healing every disease and sickness. And the people were experiencing these things as Jesus was doing them, and they were noteworthy things. These were literally the things that you would write home about. I was here in this place, and this man started teaching, and then he saw that I was struggling and I was sick, and he healed me. People were experiencing these things, and they told their friends. They literally went around and said, "Hey, have you seen Jesus? There's this guy out there in a robe. He's teaching. He seems to teach every day at about 10 o'clock. We should show up. You guys want to come with me? I'll buy lunch. Hey, there's this teacher over there. And he's saying these things that is kind of radical. He might overthrow Rome. He's performing miracles. The things that he says are kind of crazy. He said the kingdom of heaven is near and stuff. I don't know what that means, but you got to come with me and hear him. He healed my leprosy. He took care of my blindness. I don't have seizures anymore. I can walk. They thought I had COVID, but he actually came within the 6 feet that's supposed to be, everybody's supposed to stay back, and he healed me. And I could smell and taste. Miracles. Jesus was changing lives and people were following him. Large crowds. People with intense pains. They were literally bringing people. They're like, no, we're just going to go see this guy and you're going to be fine. Stop whining. We just got to get there. If you would be quiet for a few minutes, we're going to get there and your pain will go away. Demon-possessed people, I know you're crazy. We're just going to wrap you up in chains so you don't hit anybody and then take you over here to the guy and then you'll be fine. And Jesus healed all of them. So we think about ourselves for a moment. Has Jesus changed your life? Has he changed your life enough that you might follow him around Galilee? You might go out to the place that you heard he was so that you could be close to him, so you could hear what he has to say, to see and hear what he might do and say next. Because you only had a broken toe, but that guy's really messed up. I want to see what he does with that guy. We haven't even seen x-rays. Maybe my toe's not even fixed. It just doesn't hurt as much. I want to see what he does with this guy. Has Jesus changed your life? If he has, then that brings you to this point, to hear the message of the King. For the people that were actually gathered there, their experience was not that far unlike yours. They were working people who had been taxed to death, almost. They viled the tax collectors because they were taking all their money. They couldn't survive with what was left. It's perfectly fitting that this is tax season for us. Have any of you gone down to the taxes and books place and felt like, man, I just really got robbed? The government's taking everything. Those people felt that way. I was supposed to have deductions and we've had a few days recently where it's been hot. Anybody gotten too hot? I turned on the air conditioning in the church, so if you get cold, it's my fault. Anybody working somewhere where it's hot? And like you feel like, hey, I can make it. If I just keep going to work, it's going to be fine. But it's hot. As I read these words today, try to forget about the thin Bible paper that we have and the air conditioning that we're sitting in. Imagine you're standing on a windy hillside. Your back is aching from a week of hard labor. Maybe that's not a fiction for you. Your pockets are empty from Roman taxes. Maybe that's not a fiction for you. But for the first time in your life, someone is looking you in the eye and telling you that God sees you, God loves you, and the kingdom is near and it's yours. You are in a crowd of people all gathered together, and they're smelly and they're noisy and they're kind of pushy, and you're straining your neck for a view of the king, and you see him sit down on the hill. The place that they are around the Sea of Galilee, there's these natural amphitheaters where a man speaking can be heard across the area. The crowd goes quiet. Everyone starts to sit, and we wait. What does the Lord say? What does his teacher say? What message does he have for us today? Matthew chapter 5. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, nor one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all things are accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You may have heard that it was said to our ancestors, do not murder. And whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, whoever is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be subject to the court. Whoever says, you fool, will be subject to hellfire. So if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Reach a settlement quickly with your adversary while you are on the way with him to court, or your adversary will hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a written notice of divorce. But I tell you, everyone who divorces his wife, except in a case of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord. But I tell you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by earth, because it is his footstool, or even by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. But let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more than that is from the evil one. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. As for anyone who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Go with the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what rewards will you have? Don't even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by the people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine that they're going to be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others of their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces so that their fasting is obvious to the people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any one of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of those things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Pastor Adam says, amen. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard in which you judge others. And you will be measured by the same measure that you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye? And look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye. Hypocrite. First, take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And there are many. There are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. Concludes the Sermon on the Mount. For us here, I want us just to be in reflection, just to consider the things that Jesus has said, the weight that they carry. So, gather your things. The message is over. Think for yourself. What did you learn? What hit you the most? What are you confused about? How are you affected? What do you remember? This was the King's message. Today I got to just be an ambassador. He is your King. These were his words. Take that home with you. Talk to the people around you. Wrestle with the words of God. And go in peace. Let's pray. Lord, help us to receive your wisdom well today. Help us to apply these things to our lives. Help us to understand what you would be speaking to us, why you would have preserved this message for us for thousands of years so that we might receive it here in Calvary Foursquare. God, we thank you for your word. God, I ask for blessings to pour out on each house that is here. I ask for healing for those who need it, provision for those who need it, and we thank you for all of those things. Lord, we give you praise and glory because you deserve it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious. Hope you have a wonderful week.